Let us turn together to Romans in chapter 9 and verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Our subject this evening is effectual calling. Most dog owners are used to ineffectual calling. Something of interest in the distance attracts the dog, and it is off. And all efforts to recall the dog fail, and one must follow the animal. Outcomes in this connection are seldom disastrous, but it is not like that in connection with spiritual things. Failure to heed God's gospel call results in going further and further away from our Maker and ending in eternal darkness from where there is no retrieval. Some dog owners seem to be endowed with effectual calling. They call, and Fido comes. So it is with we humans when God effectually calls, when his word comes into our hearts in the power of the Spirit of God, and we rise up and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian can look back to a time in their life when that powerful call came to them. Possibly not the exact hour or even the exact day, but a time in life when a great change took place, because God called us to himself by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can say that we rose up and followed after the Lord. Well, let us begin this subject this evening with who are effectually called. Three passages in Paul's letters help us here. And from these passages, we learn various key points in connection with this powerful, effective call of God, whereby sinners dead in trespasses and in sins rise up and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this proposition: all predestined to eternal life are effectually called. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans in the previous chapter, in chapter 8 and verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. There is the pattern with respect to each one of the elect of God, chosen in eternity, predestinated, powerfully called by the work of the Holy Spirit. And those thus called, coming to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, justified by faith alone in Christ alone, and consequently led on through sanctification in this life to glory in that eternal world. Ecclesiastes affirms that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And when it comes to the subject of God's predestinating purpose, there is such a cord that is never broken. It begins with God's effectual call, this powerful call, this call in which God, the Holy Spirit himself, is active in the particular sinner to give a new heart and a complete change of direction in life. This effectual call is inextricably bonded with justification, this right standing before God, this being pronounced righteous on the basis of that imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus, whereby we are justified. Effectual calling results in repentance and in faith, in turning from sin with grief and hatred, and trusting in Christ with that saving faith. And consequently, those who believe are justified. And in those thus justified, God the Holy Spirit works in sanctifying them to keep persevering in the path of life. And so they come joyously to final glory. So it starts effectively in us with this effectual, this powerful calling. Now in this connection we must emphasize that those only who are chosen and no others are effectually called. We accept that this is a great mystery, but not everyone in the world has this effectual calling. They might indeed hear the gospel preached. It might be shared with them by a friend, or they might be listening to the radio or watching the television, and there they hear of Christ. But the human will being what it is, without that powerful changing work of God the Holy Spirit in the heart, there is rejection of the truth and a continuing on in the broad road that leads to destruction. And so each true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can be comforted in the knowledge that that true faith in the Saviour can be traced back to God's predestinating purpose and God's effectual calling. And that indeed is why we have believed. In Romans in chapter 11, for example, at verse 5, the apostle says, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant, according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The Apostle Paul is dealing here with the mystery of so many unbelieving Jews, and explains that only a remnant are saved. Self-righteousness and justification by works are embedded in the human heart, and it is only by God's initiative of gracious, undeserved favour that there is enlightenment unto salvation. This concept of personal merit and humanly originated good works is thus eliminated. The Apostle Paul had been down that path himself. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was zealous for the law. It led him to persecute Christians, self-righteously thinking that he was serving God. What a fearful delusion to be engaged in warring against God and his people, and at the very time considering that he was religiously serving Jehovah. His case shows to us, does it not, the absolute necessity of this powerful calling of Almighty God, whereby we are brought to see things as they are, rather than as we think that they are. And what a wonderful transition it is, dear friends, in life, when any particular sinner comes to that changed understanding. Because the power of God, by the Spirit of God, has worked in their hearts to bring enlightenment. How privileged we are, dear friends, if that is our condition this evening. For we were going, as it were, blind and dead in trespasses and in sin, until that day when it pleased God, the Holy Spirit, to take away the heart of stone and to give an heart of flesh, and you considered for the first time in a proper way that Jesus Christ is so precious as the Lamb of God, who gave himself for our sins, who died the sinner's death, and made peace by the blood of his cross. So we come to understand, as we go on in the Christian life, that it is in God's time that we were effectually called by the Spirit through the gospel. Some of us can look back on encounters with truth that did not result in conversion. I had encounters weekly through the 1662 Church of England prayer book, but to no avail at that time. We're not for liturgy in connection with the worship of God, but at least that 17th century prayer book was faithful to the scriptures, and
We might not agree with every detail of it, but in terms of the way of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to be justified by faith, that particular prayer book is plain on these particular matters. It is in Ephesians 1 and verses 10 and 11 that the Apostle Paul explains that God's purpose to predestinate elect sinners to eternal life is powerfully brought to fruition by the gospel call in the preaching of the word of truth. So Ephesians 1 and 11 and following, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God's call. Secondly, what then is involved in effectual calling? We may say sinners are effectually called by God's word and spirit. The gospel is not a matter of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Many preach, but their message is without power. Many hear, but they do not believe. They may have a good memory and are able to quote Bible verses, but they do not know the Lord. Thus, when the preacher sees true saving faith in his hearers, he knows it is a work of God. It's not within his hand. It's not within his power. But when God, the Holy Spirit, attends the reading and the preaching of the Word of God, what a difference. This conviction of sin, this turning from sin with grief and hatred in true repentance, this looking to Christ, this trusting in Christ, are these not, dear friends, wonderful things? So, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he emphasized the work of God in them in the following way. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. God's call, this powerful call, this effectual call, arises from God's choice and results in obtaining glory. So this effectual call, this powerful call, is from our natural state of sin and death to a state of grace and godliness of life in and by Jesus Christ. So this effectual calling, this powerful calling, produces faith, trust, belief in Christ. And that faith brings about a change in our state. True believers in Christ are no longer under condemnation.
So Paul writes at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now this leads us on. Our changed state results in a changed condition. When we are converted, we walk in newness of life. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and following addresses this, where Paul writes, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Worked powerfully. God the Holy Spirit worked powerfully to bring true spiritual life into our souls. And so Christianity is not legalism. There is no seeking of merit in the sanctified life. We do serve. We serve joyfully, but we do not serve to be accepted. We serve because we are already accepted. 2 Timothy 1 and 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We can indeed say, praise the Lord, because he has had all in hand with respect to our eternal blessedness. Now, thinking about this effectual call and understanding it better, we can identify four significant changes in connection with the situation. Effectual calling involves replacing the heart of stone with a heart of flesh that is sensitive to God's word and to God's way. God promised that through Ezekiel chapter 36:26. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." Secondly, effectual calling involves spiritual enlightenment of the mind unto salvation. The Apostle Paul makes plain that he was sent to the Gentiles, I quote, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Acts 26:18. And thirdly, effectual calling involves the renewing of the will and determining it to do good. Paul explains to the Philippians, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That's why we can go on and on. It is God that is working in us, sustaining us, enabling us, and granting to us the power to do that which is right in His sight. So fourthly, effectual calling involves a powerful and effective drawing to Christ, not by force, but by graciously disposing elect sinners to freely come to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ testified to this in John 6:44-45. He puts it this way, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." This is an inevitability about the works of God, because He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can see that His call to sinners such as we is carried through into that effect of response. Not the response of turning away, but the response of turning to God in Christ. When we learn from the Father, we are directed to the Son. And when we are directed to the Son, God the Holy Spirit shows us His beauty, and we follow Him. And let us consider, before we close, from where this effectual calling arises. We may say that effectual calling arises from God's free and special grace, not any foreseen compliance. God does foresee. God does know the future. You and I do not know the future, but God does know the future. But it is not because He sees that this or that sinner will repent and will believe. It is that God Himself effects that which is going to take place. And the Apostle Paul gives that memorable example of Jacob and Esau in Romans chapter 9 and verse 10. And there he writes, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." You see, behind this powerful call that brings the sinner to repentance and faith, behind the powerful call is the purpose of God. And God's purpose to freely bestow His special grace and mercy upon that particular sinner. Effectual calling also involves quickening and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We are passive until He works in us. And when He, God the Holy Spirit, works in us, then we are changed, and the response of our hearts is to follow Christ, and the direction of our life thereafter is in the ways of Christ. So in Ephesians 2 and 4, The apostle writes, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." He finds us absolutely incompetent, as it were, incapable of looking to Christ, trusting in Christ. You may as well go to a corpse and shout in its ear. There will be no response. And so it is, says the Apostle Paul, with us, dead in trespasses and in sins. But oh, when that quickening power of the Holy Spirit comes into the heart, what transformation. And this effectual calling of God enables sinners to answer the gospel call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. Think of that wonderful promise in Ezekiel 36:26-27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You see, this work of God, he gives a new heart, a heart which is alive and responsive to the word of God. And God calls through his word, written, read, or preached, or listened to on some tape or whatever, and it is God calling. And the Holy Spirit enables sinners to hear and to answer that gospel call and to embrace the grace of God that is offered in it and conveyed by it. And we walk in the ways of the Lord, and we're not for turning back then. We know that such a work has been done in us. Such a call, such a powerful call, effectual call, has come to us, that we are no longer what we were, dead in trespasses and in sins, but we are alive to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know in life what it is to be thwarted. We try to redirect a wayward child, but we cannot. We try to rescue some drug addict, but it is in vain. We try to win over our neighbor to face up to eternal things, but he is fixed in his ways. The case seems hopeless until we come to this truth of God's effectual call, and we see that there is no such thing as failure with Christ. To him it has been said, as we read in Psalm 110 and verses 2 and 3, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. And so we pray on. So we labor on. So we look upward and forward, that Christ might do what he alone can do, that multitudes might come to faith in him and joy in the Lord. Amen.